Soli Deo Gloria originated probably more with Bach than with Luther. Bach lived from 1685 to 1750, so it was 150 or so years after the Reformation. Probably the greatest composer in the history of Western music, and a man whose staunch Lutheran faith and love for and commitment to Christ influenced everything he did, but particularly his music. And you know, and hopefully this showed you, that under almost every piece that he wrote the letters SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, because he believed that out of both the great gifts that he'd been given, as well as the pain and suffering that he experienced, particularly in the death of many, many who were beloved to him, he still somehow could see and find the glory of God. Martin Luther put it this way: "When I first took upon me the defense of the gospel, I remember a worthy man saying to me, 'I like it, this doctrine you preach, because it gives glory and everything else to God alone, and nothing to man. For we cannot attribute too much glory, goodness, mercy, and so on to God.' This greatly comforted and confirmed me. And it is true that the doctrine of the gospel removes from mankind all glory, wisdom, righteousness, and so on, and gives it solely to the Creator, who made everything out of nothing." We've talked about sola scriptura. We've talked about sola fide, scripture alone, faith alone. We've talked about sola gratia, grace alone. We've talked about solo Christo, only Christ. And all of these alones and onlys really crescendo into this phrase, "To God alone be the glory." It's a natural outcome. It's what it's all about. And as I've been thinking about this week, as has really happened every week over the last weeks with these truths, I've found it quite difficult to know exactly how to put it into words. There just are not enough words or the right words. And it's particularly true of today's "To God alone be the glory." So what I'd like to do today is just, in a number of different ways, speak and let us hear and see and watch words and stories, not as in to talk about the meaning of the word glory and to talk about the theology behind it. You're good enough to Google that and find that for yourself on the internet. What I'd like to do today is just kind of present a cornucopia to you, in the hope that something will touch you, something will move you, for two reasons, with two goals. One is that you'll just be a little bit more in awe of who God is and how great his glory is. And number two, that you'll be maybe a little more prepared to see his glory in the mess of your everyday life. Sometimes we think of God's glory as this thing that's way out there that we never can touch. But it really is right here in your fingertips. It's right here every day in this broken world. So those are the two things I'd like to do today with a lot. And I'd like to start with Psalm 29. I invite you to, in this particular case, read along on the wall if you want, or read along in your own Bible or a Bible that's in the pew. I will mention that Psalm 29 is a psalm that was written during the time where the people around the Israelites believed in the god Baal. The god Baal was particularly the god of the storm and the god of fertility. And there were a lot of poems and a lot of songs that were written to extol the glory and the power of this god Baal, again, particularly in the area of storm and fertility. This Psalm 29, many scholars say, to be perfectly honest, not all, but many, this Psalm 29 is actually a almost carbon copy of one of those odes to Baal, which basically has the name changed. So it's almost 100% what you would find in some of the tablets, the ancient tablets that they can find, but where we have in our version the word God, the word Baal was in there. Now, just to impress upon us the point that when we believe that to God alone be the glory, we are really saying there ain't no other. He's there, and there ain't no other. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. In his temple, and you remember from what is the Lord's temple? It's the whole world. It's the whole world. And in his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people and blesses his people with peace. And now I'd like to go to Psalm 96. But I'd like you to not turn there. I'd like you to just listen and watch as we hear Psalm 96 in another voice.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes! His world is established, it will not be moved, and he will judge the peoples with equity. So let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, and the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes. For he comes to judge the world with righteousness, and all the peoples with his faithfulness. Yes, Lord, you're faithful, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, yesterday, today, forever, you're the same. Everlasting, never fading. Yesterday, today, forever, you're the same. Sing Jesus.
Get to the prophet Isaiah. And some of you may remember Isaiah 6, where Isaiah is in the temple. Forget exactly where he is. Look it up. Doesn't say where he is, but he saw the Lord lifted up, seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And Isaiah just has this magnificent vision of God in all of his glory. And the book that he writes, the prophecy of Isaiah, is just full of God's glory. And one of my favorite passages is this one from Isaiah 60. "Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory..." See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of you. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end." And there's an interesting movement starting to happen here. Remember, the Psalms were all looking up towards God, up towards God, up towards God. And what's Isaiah saying? Wait a minute, there's God's glory, but God's glory is coming down. Did you catch that? The sun will no longer be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. You ever thought of yourself as being a person of glory? God's glory is coming down. And then, of course, John tells that magnificently. John chapter 1, verse 14, a verse we know so well. The Word, of course, was with God and is God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Christ, we see the glory of God, full of grace and truth. And you remember from Luke 2, the shepherds sitting out in the field in the darkness, just taking care of their sheep. And the glory of the Lord shone on them. And Linus is going to tell us about it.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. See that connection again? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests. And then in Philippians 2, Paul just explains to us what Jesus did, the one in whom John says we see the glory of God. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus comes and humbles himself and becomes obedient and enters into that worst place of all from our perspective, that place of death. Therefore, says Paul, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father. There's nothing gives God more delight and more glory than to see what Jesus did, coming down, becoming a servant, entering into death, being raised up again into glory, and as Paul says everywhere in his letters, us with him. full of God's glory. All leading to this great day that's described so well in Revelation in a number of places, but I've just Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and power and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And this whole thing that we're talking about with the five solas and the Reformation and the gospel is this process of out of the brokenness of the world, the glory of God is coming. And one of my favorite glory verses is that Habakkuk 2, I believe this is verse 14. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Way back in 1976, as I was in the final stages of my preparation to go into ministry and to go into missions, etc., etc., this verse somehow came across my path. I don't remember ever hearing it before. But it's been a source of power and inspiration for me ever since. That's what, 41 years ago? "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." It's unstoppable. But if you look at this chapter in Habakkuk, look around it in the context of this verse, you see some interesting things, because the prophet Habakkuk really busy to scold. I'll use the word scold because that's kind of a light term, but I'll use the word scold for lack of a better one. The people of Israel. This verse comes right in the middle of a huge mess. Listen, "Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime." Think now just a little bit on the history of the West. Think of where the cultures in which the Reformation was rooted. Think of colonialism. Think of racism. Building cities with bloodshed and establishing towns with crimes. "Has not the Lord Almighty determined that people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing?" Then listen to this, in the lard of Harvey Weinstein. "Woe to him who gives drink," or Bill Cosby. "Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. For you have the violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed man's blood, you have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them." Right in the mess of the world of Habakkuk, right in the mess of the world of Martin Luther, right in the mess of the world of J.S. Bach, right in the mess of colonialization, right in the mess of slavery and racism, right in the mess of 2017, where we're busy destroying our creation and building cities and gazing on naked bodies, this verse springs out. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. And I think what we're called to as Christians is to wrestle with this, to grab it, to play with it where we can, to look for all the different ways that we can be, like Isaiah, touched and overwhelmed by the glory of God. And yet in the daily life, doing the little things, looking around for where is the glory of God and how can I touch it? What will bring a little smile to my face? There's no blindness, no darkness that the glory of God cannot penetrate. And I want to encourage you this morning to take all of these impressions and in the days, weeks that come, ask God to show you His glory. That might be an Isaiah type of thing. Huge. It might be listening for the sound of a bird in a tree or whatever. But if there's anything that's going to change the darkness and tragedy of our lives and of our society, it's going to be the glory of God. Not only as something far away, but as something that's come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus has given us His Spirit and said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Go and be my hands and feet in this world and be bearers of my glory as a foretaste, as a preview of what it's going to be like on that day.